Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I am a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows we were making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
How are you, Cindy?
Everything is really good. Everything. I'm enjoying that we're going to finally have some, you know, summer coming. I love that idea. And, you know, when I was reading the introduction, if you remember, we've been doing this show 15 years. And, you know, in the new millennium, I'm beginning to realize, it's 2023. We're pretty much into that millennium. It's not so new anymore. You know?
That is true.
It was when we started. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, all of a sudden really hit me with, oh boy, we've been in the millennium for a while now, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking a little bit before the show opened that, you know, you're going to be affected by the writer's strike, right? Because you work for television shows. So how are you guys all feeling about that?
I mean, honestly, everybody is always doom and gloom as soon as these things, you know, happen. But I'm staying positive. You know, I think that, I mean, they're really, really far apart right now. There was some concessions made, but not nearly enough from what I understand. But I think that overall it'll be fine. You know, I mean, you know, right now all of the shows are on hiatus. You know, they're all winding down. And as far as I know, all of the major networks, most of the major networks, didn't have anything that was going to go for the summer months, not anything new. And those who do have something new, for the most part, they're already filmed. So
okay,
I think
good.
That they're strategically doing this, you know, when work is slowing down. You know, because I don't think at the end of the day they really want this to go on unnecessarily, but they had to kind of make their point. And I also know that SAG and the Directors Guild will be joining the strike on June 1st. So if that's the case, then, you know, I mean, if you think about it, right now this is a strike on behalf of the writers for the, you know, towards the production companies. And right now the big holdouts are Netflix and Amazon. I think that once the actors said that they're not coming to work, and once the director said they're not coming to work, you can get crew, you know, you can get indie writers. They'll cross the picket line just because they want their big break. And you can find people that will cross the line to do like my work, and then, you know, to do the decorating work and the scenes work and then the set dressing and things like that. So, you know, we're the, you know, the bottom of the barrel. But once actors say, hey, listen, I'm not going to come to work, and once the directors say, hey, I'm not going to come to work, it's going to be a change of story. And I think that nobody's going to want to see, you know, every single major company out there just become an indie company. You know, they're going to want to see some stars. They're going to want to see the higher caliber people. So I don't think that they're going to be able to stand for very long if that actually happens. So hopefully it'll just be, you know, a couple of weeks. They'll do their negotiations and, you know, both parties will walk away having made some concessions and have, you know, and basically put themselves on a path to move forward a little bit more positively for the next 3 to 5 years.
Good. Well, you know, first of all, I just hope that you get a little rest, if anything. You know, for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I said that to my wife, too. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, you know, would it suck losing the week's pay? Yeah, it would. You know what I mean? Because don't forget, like, when we go on hiatus from, you know, the middle of May until the middle of July. So we have 2 months off. So, yeah, I mean, missing the week, I didn't account for the missing week. So, yeah, we kind of suck. But you know what? I told her, I said, I'm just going to take that as the universe saying, you know what? You need to rest this week, not next week. So, and that's you know, my story. That's what I'm sticking with. And, you know, I'm just going to adapt and, you know, come up with something else. And I'm going to concentrate on my art, and I'm going to concentrate on all the other things that I never have time to finish all in one sitting that I have to do in 2, 3, 4, 5 sittings. And I'm going to put out some new stuff, and I'm going to, you know, see if I can really make strides there, you know, and use my time wisely.
Right. And that's what I would say, because sometimes in life, we can't fight what we can't fight. Do you know what I mean? Like, so
yep,
sometimes
exactly.
We just have to say, like, you know, instead of sitting there and like getting all nervous over the situation, sometimes you just have to accept it and, you know, make the best of it, because, you know, otherwise people get themselves really sick over situations, because we're all control freaks. You know that. So when we don't feel in control of things, we tend to, like, instead of like, okay, let's make the best of it, they go crazy. I mean, it was probably proven with COVID, you know, we had to make the best of what it was. We couldn't fight it forever. We had to deal with it. And, you know, those of us who chose to deal with it in a more positive vein don't look at it as being a horrible time. If you just sat there and worried about it the whole time, it was pretty horrible for people. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, if it happens, you'll just make the best of it. And I know that's one thing I think you've learned over the years.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you to hear you say that. You know, that's a big change. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I try.
Now, we do have a lot of listeners. I wrote up this one first because she had contacted me earlier today. And I think she's a really interesting person. So before you even go on to screen anyone, I think maybe you could help me with this person's dilemma, okay? Because I think
you know it
may resonate a little bit with you. So let's pick her up. And
you got it. And the last four digits are 3916. So, hello, 3916. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, my name is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. I'm so glad you called in. And I brought in the big guns, Nicole, to make sure she listens to this one, because, you know, I was very intrigued by your email today. And it seemed to be pretty timely, because what you were saying is happening in your relationship, I've been hearing an awful lot. So I don't think you're the only person that's going through this. So maybe you could sum it up for our listeners, and then, you know, we can help you out on this one.
Yeah. So excuse if there's any, like, background noise.
Background. Go ahead.
Because I'm in the Air Force right now, and I'm just, like, working with the vehicles, but it's pretty light. So my situation is that I have a partner, and we were on and off for a couple of years. I'm going to say, like, almost 3 years. And finally now, like, we were both committed in October. And obviously the distance is kind of like, it takes a toll on our relationship.
Because you are long distance. How far away from each other are you?
He's in New York. I'm in Wyoming.
Okay, so that is quite a stretch, yep.
Yes, that's like the middle of the U.S., and so time difference and all that, in case nobody knows what that is.
I know, it's so funny. I used to wonder, does anybody live in Wyoming? You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's like the least populated state.
Right, that's what I thought. So, okay, so he said something about the relationship and what he wants to have it happening, right? So you can maybe fill us in with that.
So we talked before I came back, and he had mentioned that he wants to maybe, like, I know he didn't say this exactly, but what I'm receiving is that he wants to be a poly relationship, so there's more than one, like, two people in the relationship, and I lean more towards the monogamous side.
Okay, so does he mean that he's supposed to bring in another woman that's part of your threesome, or is it he has another woman and you just accept that?
It's more like the second version that you said. So the way he said it was that when I'm not there, like, he has needs, and, like, he doesn't want to cheat that's why he brought it up first. And he told me he thinks about, like, you know, like having a relationship with other people. But it caught me off guard because I don't feel like that. I'm, like I said, more monogamous. So now I'm in a conflict because, you know, when you love somebody, you accept all the good and bad. And I don't know if I can accept this or not.
Okay.
And it's not like the third person would be, like, part of the relationship. It's more like she knows her place and she knows my place, and she'll never, like, reach to the level that I am. She's more like a
Now, how do we control all this is what my feelings are. People may say that, oh, I'm going to just be with this person. I'm just going to be sleeping with them, and it's not going to go anywhere. But you can't control how close someone's going to get or not get. And
exactly.
You know, she may agree with it in the beginning because she's telling me what he wants to hear, and then she gets pregnant, and boy, there's a different dynamic going on there then. Do you know what I mean? Like, so now does he want you to see other people as well, or is it supposed to be him having his cake and eating it too, but you're supposed to not? What is his feelings on if you're sleeping with other people?
He said that if I wanted the same thing, he would not be against it.
Okay. And, you know, first of all, look, why are you not in the same state? Why are you in Wyoming and why is he in New York?
Because I'm in the Air Force and he's not.
Okay. So, you know, this is something you have to go with where the Air Force tells you to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not happy with this and you know who you are, you might have to be willing to risk the relationship because, first of all, you know, he's saying he's going to be sleeping with one other person. How do you know it's one other person, not 10 other people? How do you know what that story is going to be? And if he's only sleeping with one other person, it's going to get a little dicey and things. But, you know, you could bring in STDs into the relationship, you know,
yeah.
Other things like that. But you can't change who you are. I mean, I'm not faulting him for this. Maybe, you know, he just knows who he is and he's not happy with the situation, you being far away. You know, your option might be to say, well, I can't do this. And, you know, when my circumstance changes or whatever, if you're still available, I'm still available, we can do this. But you have to know who you are. Can you accept this is the question.
I tried envisioning it, like actually seeing, like, you know, him going over, and my fear is that they build an emotional, like, relationship, not just physical, and then that could get even more intense, and then it's like, where do I stand to him? Because he tells me, like, I'm the one for him, but then if I was the one, like, why would there need to be another person in there? Like, you know, then the question arises, am I even enough? And he says yes, but...
But
know.
Also you're starting a relationship that in the future, you know, when you are together, who knows if this behavior is going to stop, you know, or if he's going to want to stop it. Nicole, what's your feelings on this at all, being a young woman and, you know, perhaps having been in similar circumstances with something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know where you're at specifically, you know, with this particular person, if you know, this is a situation that you would compromise for or not. But overall, polyamory is just, it's not a good idea. You know, it's the whole idea of people getting together and having a monogamous relationship is commitment. You know, and, you know, if you look at more traditional vows when people choose to get married, you know, they have, you know, the statement, you know, that you're going to be sticking things out with this person for better or worse. You know, nowhere in those traditional vows and values does it say, I'm going to stick with you, but if it gets bad, I'm going to go find a side piece until things get better. You know, so the idea is that if you're going to be with somebody, you know, you're committed to that person, regardless, through thick and thin, no matter how difficult it may be. You know, and I mean, if you look at what the average, you know, marriage was, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know, those people were married for 30, 40, 50 years. And then some. If you look at the average marriage now, though, you know, people are lucky if they pass 2 years, you know, and most marriages end in five and under. So, you know, clearly having more choice and clearly having less restraint on that relationship is not really working out in our favor. It's ruining the family dynamic. It's ruining, you know, to an extent, you know, the core values of a household, because now you have no choice but to integrate a third party into what should be a two-party conversation, because you cannot just exclude another person from that particular, you know, dynamic if they're supposed to be part of a relationship. But it's, you know, for me, it's not a good idea. You know, it just isn't. You know, the idea is to commit to somebody and to understand that, hey, listen, yes, you know, in the beginning when you're younger and the sex isn't there or the distance is too great, then, you know, I get it. You know, I mean, that's challenging, but life is full of challenges. And you can't just say, okay, fine, I'm going to grab a crutch every time life gets a little bit hard. You know, and again, think back to before we had such access to one another. Think back to when, you know, the telephone cost you, you know, a very, very great deal to make a single, you know, local call, let alone a long distance call. You know, when people actually wrote letters via snail mail, you know, those are the relationships that have stood the test of time. Now we have so much access. We have text messaging, instant gratification, emails. We no longer have to wait for the postman to pick up a letter and take a week to deliver it someplace across the country. You know, and then you didn't have to wait for somebody to sit down, read it, write back, and then get it to the post office and take another week for it to come back. We are so spoiled by the immediate access that we have of people that what's happening is that when it comes to more physical things, they want that immediate gratification. They want that access. And when it's not available, they say, okay, fine, let me get immediate access elsewhere. You know, and that's right. That's not what you want. You know, I would hope that's not what anybody really, really wants. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, when you're making a decision to be with somebody, that doesn't mean that I'm going to love you just because it's easy to love you. It means that I'm going to love you even when it's difficult to love you. It means that we're going to make our relationship work when it's easy and fun, and we're going to especially make our relationship work when it's difficult and heart-wrenching. You know, that's the commitment that you're making to one another. It's not that you're going to be there and you're going to have sex and you're going to have fun and you're going to, you know, pay the bills together. It's that you're going to put the work into the relationship. You know, and you can't just say, well, listen, I'm going to sublet some of my work out because this is not convenient to me.
Right. And what I've found is that with my clients, you know, 25 years of doing this, this kind of situation never works out. And it's not even when it's long distance anymore. I'm hearing people, they want to do this when it's still, you know, local to each other. It gets messy because humans are people of emotions, you know, and you know, he's already found someone. You realize that? Because that's something I don't know if you know. This is not a speculative person he's talking about. He's not saying, well, if I find a person to have this. You realize he has someone in mind already. Do you know that?
I see.
And that's a horse of a different color. And, you know, narcissists and people who want to do what they want to do, they have a funny way of being honest. Oh, yeah, he's not doing it behind your back. He's telling you. And then you have to accept this. And then you can't bitch
yep.
because he's told you about it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a form of manipulation on his part.
It's gaslighting.
But this is not a, like, let's just do this, like, if I should find someone or if someone. He has a specific person in mind right now, which already says to me, is this just going to be for sex? Like, you know, he didn't just go on Tinder and meet somebody. Like, so he's got someone in mind. Has he told you that?
No.
Okay. Because that's what I see here, that he's not being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
He's got someone in mind. And did you get that feeling too, Nicole? Did that kind of...
You know what? I mean, usually when you approach something like that, you know, you may not be doing anything, but you're definitely, you know, would think of somebody. You know, and I mean, when I, you know, one thing that I always ask people, you know, like when people used to approach me before I found my wife, you know, and they used to be like, oh, you know, oh yeah, I have, yeah, but I'm like, don't you have a girlfriend? Oh yeah, I have a girlfriend. Well, we're in an open relationship. My answer, my question was always, does she know that?
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
you've got to figure, like, is he going to be honest with you 100%? You know, is he going to be honest with her 100%. You know, if you're not being monogamous and he's not being monogamous, and the person that he's not being monogamous with is not being monogamous, I mean, that's a medical risk, even in today's day and age, where you're putting yourself at risk, you know, because only God knows, what's living out there, what superbugs are out there now. I mean, we learned that from COVID, you know.
Right.
I mean, that something can happen as little as a cold can somehow become catastrophic, you know, to everybody. You know, so you don't know that. You know, the one thing is that you should always want to be first. You know, you should always want to be, you know, the person that your partner thinks of and just smiles. And, you know, you want to be number one on their agenda, you know, and that person should want you to be number one on their agenda. You know,
and if he's
engaging with other people, that means that even if he says you're number one, you're really not, because if he had to choose between you or this polyamorous relationship, you got to ask, is he going to choose you if he doesn't get his way? And are you going to be willing to say, you know what, I'm worth more than sharing you, you know, and I'm worth more than you wanting me to be shared? You know, because when you love somebody, you want devotion, and that's what you're promising one another, commitment and devotion and love. And the sex and the physical part of it is incidental. That's icing on the cake. It's everything else that takes work. And good relationships are work. They're not easy. You have to work on them. You have to adjust, and you have to, you know, sometimes you want to strangle each other, and sometimes you just want to, you know, love the hell out of them. I mean, it's work. You know, and you have to be able to put it in. And if you're subletting your work out, you're not, what you're saying to the other person is, I'm not willing to put that kind of work in. I need something else in the meantime. You
and
know,
what
and
if,
that's not
what if he's seeing her 3 times a week because, or 5 times a week?
Well, he's not going to be able to see her at all. She's in Wyoming. So
no,
he could be seeing her every night of the week for all you know, and then calling you in between.
Right. And that is something like, you know, and I have yet to see any of my clients that are involved in this. And I have clients that swing. You know, I know way too much stuff that I wish I didn't know, okay, and that have these open relationships. They all blow up. And, you know, a lot of my clients have ended up in mental hospitals over the situation, you know, or suicidal because, well, we were supposed to be swinging and then, you know, he decides to go off with her by himself. Well, you know, like that's a chance it's going to happen. You know, if you do these things. So it's kind of, my feelings are, he wanted you to say yes to this because he was being a little bit honest with you and he was hoping you'd just agree with it. Now, how often do you talk to him and connect with him?
We talk like every day, especially after work, and like we fall asleep on the phone. It's
right.
Kind of like always been connected.
Right. So you do have a lot of connection going on there with each other. You know, it's not like you don't have any time for him. And I would just think this one through because, you know, again, if he really has his physical needs, he's a young guy, he has to have sex, well, then that's fine. But, you know, there's an expression, take what you want, but pay for it. If that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. But you're going to lose the love of your life. You know, because if you agree to this, what happens is you're a nice person. And nice people are not always in touch with anger. And you're going to stuff this down. And later on, you're going to be like my clients that when they do relationship counseling with me, they allowed this situation in the beginning of their relationship. And, you know, now they're married. The woman's still thrown in his face or he's still thrown in her face, like, years later. Like, somehow,
yeah.
And I just had to scream out with the couple. I mean, I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. I've never heard anything like it before in my life. But, you know, allowing this, if it's not what you want, you have to tell him, look, I don't think that this will work for me. And he has to fear losing you at that point. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, what your generation does also is they find some reason to break up with you, some stupid reason, like blame it all on you because they've met someone else. And most of these kind of relationships on the narcissistic rung on the ladder of love last about 2 to 3 months. And they fuck around with someone, and 3 months later they come back. And my client who's been crying for months and months because, oh, they did something wrong, and he or she left me, and, oh, now they're back. I'm so happy. like they break up to cheat, and they don't feel like they're cheating because, well, we were broken up. So these things are, you know, manipulation. I don't know that you're going to be able to, from what the interactions that I've had with you, that this may not work for you. And, you know, he may say, okay, then I won't do it, and then do it anyway. I mean, if you're going to have to trust your gut on this, okay? Like, if you say don't do it, you have to trust your gut if you feel that he is with someone else. Now, Ashley, what do you think you're going to say to him?
Like, I have little, like, gaps of moments of where I can maybe see me accepting it, but I don't think I can because, me, like, to be real, like, I was never a perfect person either. Like, I was young, too, and I did my things. I've cheated before, and I've been cheated on, too. But, like, a year ago, this version, like, the old version of me would have been fine with this, but now I'm very proud of where I've came and how far I've came to be very mature and, like, honest. This is honestly the first relationship I've ever been loyal. And I don't think I could just, like, settle for that because I worked hard for that and I learned to love and value myself. So I don't know.
Good. And that's what I'm saying. You know, you're a person who's going to have to know yourself. And once you give him the okay, say it's okay, you can't then a month later freak out on him. Well, you told him it was okay. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And you might say later, well, I didn't know how much of it. I mean, it's, you know, knowing yourself and saying, I don't think I can really deal with this because, you know, it will eat at you and get under your skin and make you wonder how often is he seeing her? What are they doing? And, you know, you know, long distance relationships are difficult. And you really do have to have time FaceTiming and Zooming and connecting and talking. And you're doing all that. But it will, you know, to me, it, you know, when I shuffled the cards on it, it looks like it could destroy your relationship. I didn't get cards like, oh, this will all work out fine. I got some pretty ugly cards, which, you know, which is the Devil card, which the relationship, it gets toxic. The Tower card, which means, you know, the whole thing gets thrown away and thrown out. You know, I got worry cards. Not one good card came out of this. So, you know, again, you know, it's for both of you, you were on and off for a couple of years. Now you've finally connected. It could, you know, even if you were to go along with this for a year or so, it'll eventually ruin the relationship, you know. So, you know, it's really up to you. I've never seen this situation really work out positively for my clients because all of a sudden it's tit for tat. He's sleeping with somebody, then you're sleeping with somebody. Then he, you know, and it becomes
and
ridiculous.
Not for anything. It's also, I mean, now that you said, like, you know, what your piece was in all of this, in that you changed yourself, you put in work, you're proud of how far you've come. You don't want this, not only do you not want this to ruin the relationship, you don't want it to ruin you. You know, you don't want this to be a setback for you where all of a sudden now you make this concession for him and then you start going backwards and justifying making the same concessions for yourself. You know, you came a long way and you came that way for a reason, you know. So, you know, when you're thinking about entertaining something like this, you know, you have to remember you changed who you were for a reason. And now, you know, you have to stick to who and be loyal to who you have become.
Right, exactly. Well, call in and let us know what you decide to do and, you know, how you feel about things. And gave you some things to think about. And, you know, let us know what happens. And,
yes,
you know,
I definitely will.
You know, keep us posted. You know that we're, you know, we're here for you. And I wanted to spend a little time on this because it seems to be something I'm hearing an awful lot about. So, you know, let us know how you feel. And you can always email me privately. You know that.
Thank you, yes.
Good luck to you. And thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
All the way in Wyoming, wherever the hell that is.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye. Okay. Now, Nicole, thank you for your input on this one, because I wanted to make sure that I'm not slanting, you know, my views, and it's not even like what I personally feel. It's just that when you have thousands of clients, you know, you see things, and it's like, you know, and sometimes I haven't been strong enough, I think, in the past. And then when, you know, I watch my clients fall apart under these circumstances, I'm like, well, maybe I should have given a little more warning or heads up that maybe this isn't a great idea.
It's when you're talking about things, you know, you're talking about commitment and what that commitment really means. If you are in a stage in your life where you're not looking for the one, you're not looking to get married, you know, and you kind of like the option of having a relationship, but you also kind of want to be open, you kind of want to fuck around a little bit, you know, for me, like, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're allowed to take those liberties. And if you're with somebody like-minded, then take those liberties if you're not looking for the one. But don't for a second think that if you're sitting here telling yourself that you want to sit, that you want to settle down with somebody and have a partnership with somebody, that type of dynamic is the right thing to do, because it never is.
Right. You know,
we're living in very, very progressive times right now, not, you know, much to my chagrin sometimes, you know, and it's very simple. If you're not in that place where you're even thinking about settling down, you just like the comfort of having, you know, a body there, fine, go do your thing. Make sure that your partner knows, make sure that your partner takes the necessary precautions, as do you, you know, make sure that they are like-minded. Don't do that with somebody who wants to settle down. You know, do that with somebody who's like you that says, yeah, I kind of like the comfort of having somebody there, but it's never really going to be more than it is right now. Go for it. You know, absolutely go for it. You know, have fun. But don't talk about, oh, the one, and I'm in love with you, and I'm this with you, and I'm that with you, and, you know, and all of a sudden, but you're kind of far, so maybe somebody else can just suck my dick while you're gone. That's no. You know, and when you hear it sound that crudely, that's basically what we're talking about. We're not sugarcoating, you know, that kind of thing here. You know, you're basically saying, hey, listen, I love you and you're everything to me. And I want to settle down with you and I want to be with you, but you are geographically undesirable. Therefore, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get somebody else to facilitate my needs, you know, while you can go on being everything, you know, in a different capacity to me. That doesn't work. That's not working on the relationship. That's not committing to the person that you're with. That's no kind of commitment whatsoever, you know, because commitment is not just when it's easy. Commitment is when it's hard. And you know what? Yeah, it'll be hard to stay monogamous. It'll be hard to stay loyal to somebody in a long-distance relationship. If you're really that frustrated by it, get on a fucking plane. Okay, get some fucking frequent flyer miles, you know, when she's got some time off, because I know that she's, you know, in the military and it's not always easy just go out there and things like that. But you know what? Find out when she's got a couple days, you know, or a couple of hours even, and go spend them with her. Don't go spend them with somebody else because she's not around.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, we do have a lot of listeners. We have the first one, which we didn't screen yet, but I think this number looks familiar, but 267.
Yep, I got it. All righty, okay, then here we go. The last four digits are 2019. So hello, 2019. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Okay, my mic is on over here, Cindy. Is their mic on your side?
No. And you know, here, let me do that. And hello, you're on the
hello.
Air.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay,
I
good.
Hear you. Oh,
it's
good,
acting
good.
It's acting very peculiar tonight because I still have our last caller is still on the mic here, and I don't think she's on yours.
No,
right?
And she's off of mine.
Okay, but she's on of mine. Okay, so who knows what the hell's going on? Okay, so hello, and who is this that we're speaking to?
This is Linda from Philadelphia.
Hi, Linda from Philadelphia. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. I'll have a question, and it might be a strange one, but my ex-husband just passed away last month, and we had not seen or spoken to each other in a very, very, very long time. And I always wondered throughout all these years, like, did we just throw it away? Did we give up too soon? Or was it just not meant to be? And did he ever feel sorry for hurting me? I you know, all these questions come to mind that will never be answered.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And it's funny because the first card I got was the mourning card. And I know that, you know, you're in, and then across from that was anxiety, because it's always hard to, like, bury people we have a little bit of mixed feelings for. And, you know, what I saw that, and I got the toxic love card, like, you know, it had its ups and downs, but, you know, at one point you guys had a very strong connection, correct?
Correct.
When you first met, because I also got the soulmate card. And,
and
when people are soulmates, and when it goes down the ladder of love from soulmate to toxic, people who are soulmates are actually supposed to honor the contract. If we are not bringing out the best in each other, then we have to end it. Not that you gave up. Like, true toxic love is an addiction, and people never give it up. They torture each other. They beat the hell out of each other. They're addicted to each other. It's not good. They keep going back for more. But a soulmate contract does not allow for that. It says, you know, if you're going to abuse each other and hurt each other, love each other enough to walk away. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he just said to me. And he's kind of, he's transitioned. Okay? He's very funny, by the way. Do you remember him being funny? Because he's a little bit on the funny side.
He made me laugh. Yeah.
And that's what he wants you to laugh now, because he said, I feel like I've been running a marathon. I'm kind of exhausted. You know, I'm just settling in here. And he's kind of talking like that to make me laugh. Like, he's this cartoon character that was running all the way up the staircase to heaven. So he said it in a funny way. But he's the one who said he often had the same thoughts. Did we throw it away, you know, too soon? Did we, you know, give up? And yet, neither one of you were old enough or wise enough to have figured out how to fix this mess. And nobody gave you tools how to fix it. And people have to relive their parents' marriage, which for most people isn't good news. And sometimes even when we marry when we're younger, sometimes we're still fighting with our mate like we fight with our siblings. A lot of mess gets brought into a marriage, and a lot of unhealed issues come up. He was not a very happy camper.
He wasn't?
No, a lot of the time after you guys left, he said, you know. He's a nice guy, and on the surface, probably no one would have seen it. You know, it's funny how people have a persona. But, you know, he's saying, you know, what he died from. And do you know what he died from, actually?
Yeah, he had bile duct cancer.
Yes, because he said it was cancer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is a lot of stuffed down anger. Okay, we never have to be sick. Cancer is one of those things we're angry. And I don't think he ever stopped being angry about the ending of the relationship. And, you know, and then he seemed to, you know, have difficulties in general in life, but he wants you to know he never stopped loving you, as you probably never stopped loving him. He said we fell out of liking each other. It's this expression I always use, and he said that's a good one to use. Okay. But did he ever stop loving you? No. And he thought of you often, very often, and I think you probably thought of him too.
My whole life. I always thought I'd see him one more time, you know.
Of course.
It's hard for me to believe that I never will, you know. I still dream about him, and
did you dream about him? You said you did dream.
I did dream. Yes, I do. Before he passed, I would.
Soulmates are very telepathic, and when the relationship ends, it does feel like a death, and the soul continues to commune, and they commune like a dead person. They come to us in the dreams. They give us signs through music. And the two of you did always communicate. The souls were going on communicating. He will be able to astral travel to you and you to him now, in the dream plane, but it was his soul coming to you at the time. He doesn't want you to feel bad because he feels a little bad, actually. He said there were times when he wanted to call you and he said he owed you some closure or an apology for what he felt he did to make this end. But he didn't know what kind of can of worms it was going to open up. Do you know what I mean? So he said it's not too late to say he's sorry now. He's very funny. He's very funny.
He is.
He said he will take 60% of the blame and not 61%, okay? Then he says to me, I'll take 60. You take 40, okay? It was 40% your blame.
He should go ahead and remarry. And I was just wondering, was he really that happy? People say he was so happy. Was he really that happy with her?
It's funny because he loved her, but in the ladder of love, it wasn't the way he loved you, okay? And yes, they had a good life together and he loved the home and whatever. But once you've had a soulmate, it's very hard to settle for a lesser love. When all love looks about the same in the beginning, so maybe you don't realize it, but if you've had a soulmate, there's somewhere along the line when you're with a mediocre love, a kind of a woman to fit a plan or a man to fit a plan, no matter how good they might be, you're always feeling like you're missing something. And
yeah,
that's how it felt. But you know he was the kind of person that would make the best of what he had.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's what he did. And was he happy as a person with her? Yes. And did he build a life that was happy as much as he could? But, he's saying it did eat at him. And because he was married, and that's what I thought he was saying, because he's recently dead, so he's kind of like a broken cell phone. They really don't know the language of telepathy fully, so he says a word or two rather than full thought. But I've been doing this so long, I could usually figure out what they're saying. But because he was married, he didn't feel he had a right to call you and say some of the things he needed to say, because what are you going to do with that? What is he going to do with that? He wasn't going to divorce his wife. He wasn't going to leave her because, she's a good person. He's going to break her heart and break up a family and a home. But looking back now, he said he should have done it. Okay, because he had thought about it quite often. And then you guys could have just talked. And you can still communicate with him now because soulmates are very telepathic. So, he said talk to him now. And, of course, you didn't want him gone. It was very comforting to just know he was on the earth. Okay.
I would wonder if his wife ever passed away, whether we would get back together then. I said probably not because, the guilt of his children and stuff. But I never thought of him passing. You know what I mean? I just never thought of him leaving the earth, And,
right.
It's just like, wow, I can't believe.
He wasn't that old when he died. He was in his 60s or something. How old is this man?
71.
Right, because he's young. It's funny because when they're close to my age, they always say young. And I swear when I'm 90, they're going to say they're young because I'm getting older by the minute. So I'm cracking up. What's young is keeps going up here. But he was glad to hear you laugh. It's made him happy that you're laughing. And because he wanted that, and it's almost like you're giving him a great gift because, he hasn't really done his life review yet, which life review takes upwards of 10 years or more, okay? It has to be how he was as a father, how he was with you, how he was with it as a child. And so he's not coming from a place of having been, seen your relationship and everything. He's just going from what he felt. And look, when you start getting older, and I know exactly what he's talking about, we look back on our life with a lot of regret, a lot of remorse. a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. I can't tell you the volume of woulda, coulda, shoulda that I have. It plagues me. It torments me. And yet there's very little we can do about it because time has passed. So we give ourselves a life review as we get 70 and we start getting into the 60s. You start reviewing your own life, what you could have, would have. So what he's talking about is he had the cancer, and during that period of time, cancer is a wake-up call. Cancer gives you time to figure out why God, why this? What is the wake-up call in this? Why do I have cancer? What's going on? And it gave him time to review his life. So what he's saying to you is coming from his own life review of how he felt at the end of his life. And he's very nice to tell me. It's not like maybe a year from now or 6 months from now he would have more to say. But he's telling you how he felt at the end of his life, and he was very tempted to call you. But he felt like if his wife found out that he called you, then she would think their whole life was a lie. She would think he didn't love her. He didn't want to do anything that would leave her feeling that she wasn't the love of his life, because he doesn't have the heart to have done that. So he said, forgive me for not having contacted you about it. Okay. And he feels much more peaceful. He stopped with that running, like that hyperventilation. He's just kind of staying still. He would try to give you, and he has been trying to give you messages through songs. So see if you don't, you know, try to put on the radio. It's more like a random song that comes on. You know, it's one of the best ways to get messages. Have you gotten any messages from him since he passed?
No. One thing you said in the first sentence of this phone call is the Stairway to Heaven, and that was a song that we loved together.
That's what he told me to say, Stairway. He told me I was going to call it, does anyone know, as I call it, the Ladder of Realization on the other side. The Ladder. But he told me to use the word Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
So you would know when you hear that song that he's letting you know how he feels. Okay?
So he really did love me. He really did.
It's so funny. He said, damn it, didn't I just say that? Like, you know, yes, he did love you. It was never a lack of love. Again, with soulmates, is we're not here to torture each other. And the saddest thing, often when soulmates don't work out, and I've seen this, like, the patterns that I see is because I have thousands of clients. And so many times I've done a reading where, you know, parents are divorced and like the father dies or the mother dies, and I'm reading the child, and the dead parent comes through to say, your father, your mother was the love of my life. And very often that parent has died of cancer. Okay. And even though they were divorced, they never stopped loving each other. Do you know what I mean? And so it's, why do you think 9 out of 10 love songs are about the love that got away? Adele's 25 album, every song is about the love that got away. 1% of people maintain soulmate love. To make you feel better about this, 1% maintain it. 45% are offered it. 1% maintain it. They either run from it in the beginning of it. They get scared. They after a while, they make it mediocre, and you can't even tell they were ever soulmates. Or they destroy it, and they have to separate. So it's not just you that made this not work, or that it's like, I wish I could have made it work better. But often as we've just not been given the tools how to fix something. And
exactly.
That's what my job is. I try to give people these tools, like say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. And it's funny because when people get married, they have to relive their parents' marriage. Sometimes their grandparents' marriage is thrown in there. If their step-parents, it's even more complicated. So there's like 8 people in a marriage, okay? And there's only about 15, fights people can have. And when we're first married, we do what's called in transactional analysis, running an old tape. So all of a sudden, I don't know, somebody's not putting something away in the refrigerator, right? And it goes from A to Z. And 2 hours later, you know, what the fuck started this fight? Because he's running one of the fights they had about the refrigerator his parents had. You're running your parent. And after, and you know you've run an old tape because you don't have a clue what the hell you're talking about. Like, how did we get here? It happens an awful lot. So he's just saying, let's just be grateful that we didn't torture each other forever, okay? But he had thought about you many, many times. And now you're doing a life review of your relationship with him as well. What could have been done differently? Do you know what I mean? And learn from that. You're still on earth, he said. You can still learn from it.
I know, but, you know, it's almost wish it was like if we could do it again. You know, I almost feel
and
like,
that's what, why there's reincarnation, darling. So what I'm trying to tell you this, he'll make a pact with you. He's laughing. He'll do his life review and heal his issues. You heal yours on earth. You'll meet in spirit, and then you'll be blessed to have another lifetime where you can meet young and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what reincarnation's about. Now, oftentimes doing this for a living, people meet and I go, oh, man, that son of a bitch was your ex in your last lifetime. God didn't want you to meet him. Why the hell did you meet that son of a bitch? Because you thought you could fix him? It's mostly people meeting that the relationships were not great, and they never figured out in the spirit how to make it better, and they haven't figured out here. So he said, why don't we both learn what we need to learn, and then we can come together again and be happy.
That would be one.
And, you know, he's very kind, by the way. He's a very kind man. He says please and thank you. You know, he is filled with joy because he really needed to talk to you. Okay, like you've given him a great, great comfort. Remember, he wanted to call you. And then at the end, he was very sick and there was no, it was too late anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
There was a moment when he wanted to. But, you know, he thought of all the consequences and what his wife might have thought. You know, it's funny how we all worry what other people are going to think. Do you know what I mean?
She broke up. She was instrumental in breaking up our marriage. And it's like, you know, just I just can't believe she led my life. She took my life from me, you know. And,
right. And again, that, can you understand why she must have always been threatened by you? You guys
she
were
was.
Always, she never was, and she always knew that. So if he, at the end of his life, wants to speak to you, which he did, that would have made her realize that it had always been you. You know, and that's something I think, you know, he's saying, I just didn't want to open that can of worms. That's all he keeps saying. You know what I mean? And that's also then admitting to himself that he has lived a lie. You know, most people live the big lie. They live a half life. They don't live the life they really are meant to. And so if, you know, if you can forgive him and, you know, the person, not his actions, it would help him a lot on the other side.
Okay.
You know, and thank you for sharing your story with us. An important one, okay? It's in a, and I know it probably took a lot for you to even go on the radio show and share this because it is the death of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. So you already mourned the marriage. Now
oh,
he cried again. So you're mourning the marriage and the whole thing again. It just opened up a whole scab and ripped it open in the scar too.
It just reminded me how much I loved him and how much I still have yet to meet anyone like him.
And it's just, just know that things look very, very good for you in the future, and you will get a very clear sign from him in the next day or two.
Great.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Okay.
And you can always call in if he gives you some more signs.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now I'm going to pick up Jimmy because Jimmy has a little interesting story to tell because we don't have a few minutes left. Let's see what Jimmy has to say. Hi, Jimmy. How are you, darling?
Hello. very weirded out.
Why?
Because this is the second time, and I guess it's because I'm that good of a person. I don't know. But for the second time at work, okay, I had this older woman seemingly trying to hit on me, but then acting like she's not hitting on me. And I'm like, damn it.
Well, like, did you call her on her behavior or not?
No. I was having a conversation with a coworker, and then I just, like, I kind of wrapped up. There was definitely a spirit guide that came over, too, at the same time, like, right before this happened, because I was talking about something that was a little bit sensitive, and then I was directed into a different conversation. Anyway, so then this woman came over and just started standing there trying to, and was like about to chime in, and I was like, I wrapped up the conversation and walked out.
All right, but be careful.
She was like trying
to
catch my eye, and it's like, ugh.
Well, just be careful at work. You know, you're best to just diffuse it. I mean, sometimes, you know, people may not be hitting on you. They may just be flirtatious. Just don't overreact to it. And also in this kind of a political climate, you're not really supposed to hit on people at work. So they kind of have to do it in a way that could be interpreted as maybe yes or no.
Yeah.
You know.
No, this same person, I had walked into a meeting and she was talking about towels getting wet. This is a room full of men, and she's talking about towels getting wet in a very provocative way, and it's just like,
yeah, but that doesn't mean she's hitting on you. It means
she was hitting on about like 5 to 8 guys at that during that. But this was very specific. Like, she specifically came over to me, and I'm like, oh boy.
Well, again,
I don't want to be involved with middle-aged wives or whatever.
First of all, just don't even take it personally, because obviously she's doing it, to everyone. That's, you know, she's got some issues, okay? So, and first of all, she can get her – if a man did that, by the way, and I really object to the fact that she's a woman that did it, and she did not get called on her behaviors. If a man did this, he'd be fired, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my thing is women behave the way you're supposed to behave. Because, technically you or someone else could go to human resources and say that this is, you know, offensive behavior. Men don't do that because they don't want to look like a wimp, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's inappropriate office behavior, you know, disturbingly so. Do you know what I mean? And, I would avoid ever being alone in a room with her or anything. Just because that kind of a person, if she does make an advance on you and you don't, you know, reciprocate, she could turn around and say you made the advance on her or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I would just, maybe the spirit guide, they were just warning you, this woman's not normal.
Yeah, there was something like right before she came walking over, and I was just like, okay. There's something going on here, because I was directed to not be talking about the subject I was talking about, and I was directed to talk about a different subject that I'm actually happy about, and then I kind of had to end the conversation very abruptly, which is like, okay, something was going on here, you know.
Right,
but.
And just know that, you know, people's behaviors at work, should be professional and the whole kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised... Yeah. See, what's really bad is that not one of those men in that office said this is an appropriate conversation, okay?
Right.
And, you know, if there had been a woman in there, she probably would have said it. But, you know, I think we have a lot of men listeners. In business, if you see a woman acting inappropriately, you have to just do right to saying, this is an appropriate conversation, it's not the time or the place, and put an end to it. Because what happens, they feed this monster, you know what I mean? And it makes people uncomfortable. It's just creepy. To me, it's just creepy. it's just a scuzzy kind of thing. But anyway, we're at the end of our show. Thank you, Jimmy, for sharing that, because it was just a little, reminder of people that there's a time and a place for all kinds of behaviors.
Correct.
That's creepy, you know? It's very creepy.
Yes, very.
And, Nicole, thank you for your help, particularly with that first caller, because I really needed your input. And we'll all speak next week. And thank you for all our listeners, and have a great week. Bye.